Before we jump in, I want to tell you about New York Times Audio, a new iOS app for New York Times news subscribers. It's got our show plus other great podcasts from The Athletic, exclusive shows, narrated articles, and more. New York Times Audio, download it now at nytimes.com/audio app. That's nytimes.com/audio app. Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. Big day today. Max Olson and I have an interview with a guy who put his name in the transfer portal, his phone blew up, and he found himself at a new destination starting there next week. Isaac Okwu, 5 years at James Madison as an edge rusher, very good player, helped the Dukes go from FCS to FBS, was all Sun Belt last season. He puts his name in the portal. Everybody in the country seems to want him. Ends up narrowing it down to three SEC schools, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Missouri, and visits those, and he's going to be an Ole Miss Rebel. He explained how being inside the transfer portal actually works when you're one of those wanted guys in the portal, and it's really fun. It's a really good interview. Isaac's fantastic. He hosts his own podcast called Off Schedule, which if you're not already listening to that one, add that to your repertoire, please. But it was a fun show with me and Max. Unfortunately, it was also my last show here at The Athletic. I am moving on, going to take a few weeks off, and then I will reemerge somewhere else. But I just want to say thanks to everybody at The Athletic for letting me do this and have this platform and letting me write stories and just being incredible teammates and coworkers. Everybody at the company has been wonderful to me, and I can't thank everybody enough. And I can't thank you guys enough, because we started this thing from nothing. We had zero listeners when we started, and all of you have come in and made this a community and such a fun show. Don't worry, you will be able to hear my nasally voice again. Like primetime, I am not hard to find. You will find me again, not long. But take good care of Ari and everybody else, and I just want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart. It has been a wonderful ride. And now one more show, me, Max Olson, and Isaac Okwu talking about life in the transfer portal.
Like, when I came out of high school, I wasn't recruited by all these big schools, SEC schools, Pac-12 schools, like all that stuff, Power 5 schools. So it was definitely cool to be able to experience a level of that the second time around, even though it was stressful. I'm blessed, honestly, and like I said before, I just got to thank God for all that. And with all that being said, let me not beat around the bush too much more. I'll be spending my last collegiate season at the University of Mississippi, man, Ole Miss. I feel like they got a great thing going there, and I feel like I can help them out and continue success and everything they want to accomplish, and everything I want to accomplish, I can get accomplished at Ole Miss. And yeah. My name is Isaac Okwu. I'm going to Ole Miss. Hotty totty, baby.
That is Isaac Okwu, host of the Off Schedule podcast, on his own show announcing his commitment. That is what I'm talking about, taking your message and controlling it. And Isaac joins me and Max Olson now. Isaac, you spent the past five seasons at James Madison. You entered the transfer portal this spring. You've just emerged as an Ole Miss Rebel. How's it feel?
It feels good for sure. It feels like a weight is lifted off my shoulders, because, you know, this whole transfer portal process has been pretty stressful with coaches hitting you up constantly. People always asking, oh, where you're going? Oh, what's going on? How you doing? But yeah, it's definitely a relief, and I'm excited now because I can get back to what I actually love doing, which is the football part of it, and not have to worry about all the recruiting and all that.
That's a lot of relationships to work through at one time there. I imagine, Isaac, when you went in the portal on April 25th, I think by the end of that day, you tweeted out 8 offers. Just how crazy was that from the moment, the morning that your name is officially in there and your phone is just blown up?
Yeah, I hadn't experienced anything like that in my life before. Like, it was, I was wondering how everyone even got my cell phone number, honestly, because some teams would DM me and then ask, oh, for my cell phone number, and then they text me like 5 minutes later. So I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But some schools just text me out the blue and just had my number, and it was definitely crazy. Like, my phone didn't rest from like 10 in the morning till 10 at night. It was just constant, constant buzzing, communication, Twitter, Instagram, text messages. It was really crazy.
So you're an edge rusher, and Max and I have talked a ton on this show about that is not an abundant thing in the portal. Mm-hmm. Offensive linemen, D tackles, edge rushers, the big people who are accomplished in college do not tend to end up in the portal. So how did you decide, all right, instead of playing my last year at JMU, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a chance on this. Did you have an idea that something like this was going to happen, or was the level of offers you got surprising?
You know, I had an idea that I would have somewhere to go. I didn't know it was going to be this crazy with all the schools that hit me up, like SEC schools and all that. I was honestly, before I went in the portal, I was thinking I was going to end up at like an ACC school or a local school, like a UVA or a UMD or a school like that. So when I started getting offers from all over the country, I was pleasantly surprised. I know I'm a good player, but you know, sometimes it's, you got to see it actually come through for you to actually believe it's going to happen, you know, because it is a lot of risk that goes with hopping into the transfer portal. And I definitely was worried, even though I know how good of a player I am. It's just always weird when you're putting yourself out there and risking your chances.
How weird was it as a podcast host? Because your co-host Julio actually had to interview you about being in the transfer portal. But that's probably my favorite. So, by the way, Off Schedule is the name of the show. Mm-hmm. Go watch on YouTube, subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff that you can hear for this show. Uh-huh. And they do some great shows. You do shows with other athletes at JMU. And obviously, I imagine that the universe expands now, but Julio is trying so hard in that episode to not just be like, so what kind of NIL deals you getting?
Yeah.
That's the tea.
Nah, that's what a lot of people be asking me. They're like, oh, how much money are they giving you? Oh, is the money the reason you're going there and all that stuff? I'm like, honestly, it's not. The money isn't the reason because, you know, I can make a lot more money in the league than in college. So, you know, I really just try to make a decision based on what school I thought was the best fit for me. But nah, Julio definitely was.
definitely he said he wasn't going to pocket watch and then he just couldn't
exactly.
help himself.
Exactly. He was just trying to get some clicks, honestly. That's how Julio
it worked. I clicked.
That had to be interesting though, Isaac, is you go take the visits and you talk to these coaches and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure the whole time you're trying to feel out like how does the NIL part work?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does the collectives part of this work and stuff like that? Like how is just like trying to understand what your value is in that and even just like how that actually goes?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because not a lot of players talk about like the exact type of numbers that they get in terms of NIL money. So you're really going in there blind most of the time to what your value would be in the market. And then one thing that helped me was that one of my old teammates, Tuck, he's been helping me a lot with the process and being able to know what like the type of value that players would be getting. Cause he transferred to Texas last offseason and being able to see him go through that process and see the type of things that he was going through with the different schools and the NIL and things like that. It gave me a better scope of how to go about it. You know, I always feel weird asking people you're not really asking people for money, but when it comes to money, everything gets a little like weird. You know what I mean? So it definitely was a little bit awkward.
I haven't had to do it in that respect, but Max and I have both had to do it getting jobs, changing mm-hmm. jobs. It doesn't ever stop being weird. It really doesn't. And I'm with you. It is the strangest thing in the world. And it's interesting what you said about guys don't talk about specifics. That's similar to the real world. Unless you have somebody who's just a big mouth and is like, I make this. Like, you don't really know what your coworkers make.
True. Yeah.
Well, you had another teammate.
Max, what do you make?
Wait, cut this. Well, you know, Isaac, you had another teammate, Juice Wells, go in the portal last year too and mm-hmm. go to South Carolina and have a great year. And now he's, you know, one of the best receivers in the SEC. So I'm sure there's also that, like, I'm sure you're trying to figure out if you go have a big year, like, how much can you earn versus, like, how much are they just supposed to give you? I
imagine, yeah.
You know?
You know, it's weird because, you know, you would think that getting paid would be based off your – what you've done at that school up to that point. Like usually I would assume if you were a player who had multiple years, you would come in and then based on how you perform, that would dictate how you're getting paid. But a lot of times with the portal now and the way that a lot of people are getting 1 year guys who played at other schools and produce at other schools, you're kind of guessing that the guy will be able to be worth whatever amount you're trying to give them. So that's really the line you're trying to teeter on. How do you overpay a guy or do you give a guy this much? And then when you have other schools coming into it as well, you're like, oh, do I have to outbid another school and stuff like that?
And I'm sure you're thinking theoretically, you know how this goes, but when you're actually in it, I'm sure that was just nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. Cause you know, it's funny. Cause like, it's like the type of money you haven't seen before. Like a type of money I've never seen before. So when they tell you, you're like, oh wow. Okay. And then you have to like kind of bring yourself down and remember like, oh, it's about the football. It's not really about the money aspect. Cause you can make a lot of money wherever you go, but going to the league is where you're going to get the most money and maximize the most of your value. So you got to keep the main thing, and that's the football.
Is that something that 23-year-old you understands better than 18-year-old you would have?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, 18-year-old me, you show me any type of money and I would have been like, oh yeah, I'm coming to your school. Like, it would have been like, whoever gives me the most money, I'll just go wherever. So, you know, I don't envy the younger guys coming in when it comes to that aspect of it.
So you were recruited by some Ivy League schools, mm-hmm. And then you looked at Coastal Carolina. What made you decide on JMU when you picked? You're out of Maryland, same year as Chase Young, mm-hmm. out of Maryland.
Yeah. So JMU, I felt like was my best opportunity football wise, and then also I really resonated a lot with the people and the environment at JMU. You know, so the Ivy League schools, that was really. Like, cause like, I do take academics seriously, but that was really more, I would say my parents' dream was for me to go to an Ivy League school. I really wanted to be, I felt like because I do things with the cyber world and computers and stuff, I could really succeed no matter where I go. Cause there's a lot of people who don't even go to college and they just take like boot camps and they get jobs in cyber. So I was thinking, I want to go where I can have fun, play football and also get a good degree. It doesn't have to be at an Ivy League school. So. That's why I chose James Madison.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors. You mentioned the degree. You have a computer science degree. Mm-hmm. What is the now? Obviously, the plan is to go to the NFL and play mm-hmm. there. But what's the plan for the degree post football?
So I actually have a computer information systems degree.
Okay.
The roster kept saying I have computer science because they forgot.
You're gonna have to tell us what the difference is because we're done. Yeah. So like, we don't know the difference.
Computer science is more like. Coding for like apps and video games and softwares and stuff like that. Computer information systems is more of the business in terms of like the business aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then also incorporating people, like interacting with people, like the IT side of things, the things of that nature. So that's
building systems for businesses and maintaining systems.
Maintaining systems for business. Yeah. The IT analytics and all that stuff. So that's what I started off as a computer science major. And then I realized I didn't want to be coding in a dark basement all the time. And especially with football, I would be set. So we had this building on East Campus that was mainly for cyber and technology and all that. And I would be in there till like 12, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. just coding and then have to go take like a 3-hour nap, wake up and go to 6 a.m. workouts. Oh. I was like, yeah, this isn't going to be for me. So I was like, let me just change to something that I feel would be more viable for me in terms of playing football and doing it, and something that was also still had the technology side to it. But in terms of what I plan to do with that, that's really my plan C, to use my college degrees and all the stuff I've been getting through school. I feel like after football, it goes my love for like media and podcasting and interacting with people. I feel like that's my plan B. And then my plan C would be to utilize the degree I got from JMU.
Well, you could do both. I mean, you could be hosting your own podcast, but you could also maintain the network it's on and all that other stuff. So
yeah, exactly.
You've got a lot more tools in the belt than I think I probably had coming out of college. So, so you enter the portal, all mm-hmm. of these offers come rolling in. you got to decide, how do you narrow this down? And how much, how much time did you even have to narrow it down?
I didn't have a lot of time, honestly, because I forgot what the exact week. I think it was like 4 weeks ago when I hopped in the portal. And but I think it was like it was either Monday, Tuesday, something like that. And then by that, all the teams that were hitting me up were like, "Oh, we want you to come in on Friday to visit." So it was like every coach was asking, "You got any visits set up yet?" And I had to tell everyone. I was like, "Oh no, I didn't." Because I was going from phone call to phone call, and I was telling every coach, "Oh no, I haven't solidified. I haven't solidified. I haven't solidified." And then, and I didn't have any time to sit down and look at them until about like midway through the next day. That's when I sat down. And I was looking at these schools, and I was like, "Okay, so what schools am I going to go to?" Very quickly, the SEC schools rose to the top in terms of what I'm trying to get done and how successful they've been in the draft. Like they led the draft in picks for like the last 17 years or something crazy like that. So very quickly, the SEC rose to the top. And I kind of went from there and chose different weekends for like Auburn, Ole Miss, and Missouri.
So Auburn was the first visit. And I remember you're telling Julio about this on the episode. And you said it's basically like a cheat code. The facilities where cryo chambers, human car wash. And I was laughing because you said it's like an NFL facility. And I'm going to be like, no, it's actually better than most NFL facilities.
Yeah. When I saw some of the stuff that they had, it was outrageous. It makes me wonder like how, so now I really see like when some of these schools get upset by like FCS schools, I'm like, there's no reason at all that should be happening. Like the amount of like getting three meals a day catered to you, the weightlifting rooms, the staff, the amount of dedicated staff to only football, it's outrageous. The facilities, like Auburn had like three locker rooms, like JMU, we got one locker room. So it's like, all this stuff they had, and I was joking with some of the coaches. I was telling them, y'all just have too much money because y'all are getting stuff that you don't even really need. Y'all just getting them. It had like Gatorade water fountains, stuff like that. I was like, this is it's outrageous. But yeah, it's cheating, all the stuff they have. If I've been there from a freshman, there's no reason I shouldn't be like 2% body fat walking around at 280 pounds, like just a straight animal. Like it's crazy.
Oh my God. So, You do Auburn, Ole Miss, Missouri. Is that the order of the visits?
Yeah.
And my favorite thing you said on that show about those visits was you think you gained 5 pounds on every visit.
Mm-hmm.
That has not changed over those SEC schools or all the in the Big Ten schools the same way. Like when they get you on a visit, they are shoving food. The
whining and dining's had to be unbelievable.
So much food. Like you eat breakfast and then 4 hours later is lunch, and then 4 hours later is dinner. It's just constant food all the time, and it's like a lot of food, all from restaurants eating out.
What was the best meal you had in the three visits?
The best meal, man, that's tough. I would say the breakfast at Auburn. The second day. So I came in Friday night, and then on Saturday morning, that breakfast at Auburn, I think it was a place called Lucy's. I would say that was the best meal because their chicken and waffles was very good. Like that was the best meal for sure.
Is that weird at dinner? Are you like looking at the menu and you're trying to figure out like what's the appropriate steak to get? And I assume they're like egging you on into getting like the craziest order possible.
Yeah. I've always been taught to where, even if someone is paying for you, you don't go over the top and try and get all the extra stuff. But it's weird because they're encouraging you to do that. They're like, yeah, get the Wagyu, get the T-bone, get the porterhouse, all that stuff. And I'm like, I just don't feel comfortable getting the most expensive steak on the menu.
Like I had a big lunch today, big breakfast. It's tough.
When I see some of those prices, I'm talking $70 for a steak. I'm like, man. And I was talking to the coaches. I was joking with them. I'm like, you guys go on these dinners like every weekend because you're always bringing in recruits. I'm like, I can't believe you guys aren't like 300 pounds right now.
They get desensitized to it though. I bet some of them ordered salad.
Yeah. Some of them didn't even order. They just sat there and they were just talking like they didn't even eat.
I could never do. You could not put me in a steakhouse with somebody else paying and I'm getting a salad.
Exactly.
And stopping there. Like, I'm with you. I'd feel uncomfortable ordering the most expensive thing on the menu, but I wouldn't feel uncomfortable ordering a steak and some and some sides. Like,
yeah. When they're right pushing you market price, like that's tough. You feel a little.
I need to see an actual number. I don't want to guess.
So. Yeah.
What, Isaac? Why not just take two more visits? Why not just go all the way through it and just keep enjoying it?
It started to get too stressful, honestly, if I'm being real. The way the coaches, I mean, I understand they want you on their team, but they're going after you hard, you know, and it's like constantly, I wasn't getting anything done outside of the recruitment because of how constant it was on my mind and all this stuff. So I started seeing like my production in terms of my podcast taking a hit and other aspects of my life. So I was like, I feel like I shouldn't just take visits just to take visits. I knew that I wanted to play in the SEC, and those were the three teams in the SEC that I had offers from. So I was like, there's no reason in wasting any of the other coaches' time or wasting my own time taking visits to other schools.
Hey, look at the dedication to podcasting. That's incredible. That really is it. Like this, the way to be successful as a podcaster is keep making podcasts. Like, don't stop. Everybody tails off after a while. But so Ole Miss is the pick. What was it about Ole Miss, Oxford, the coaching staff that made you decide that's the place?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you're not coming in for a long time. So I knew I was coming in for 7 months.
Here for a good time, not for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was looking at, I feel like the location didn't even really matter to me that much because I can be anywhere for 6 months. I can be anywhere for 7 months. Obviously, and all the schools were far from home, so that didn't really play a factor either. I would say the biggest thing was just the football. You know, I've seen their success in recent history with Coach Kiffin, and then also bringing in Coach Golding and seeing the defense he was able to run at Alabama. Not even just the players exactly themselves, but the scheme and how I saw that scheme attributing to my versatility for the next level. I feel like that was the main thing that drew me to Ole Miss, like talking with Coach Golding and what he was able to showcase in terms of how I would fit into the defense.
You're kind of what they call the Jack linebacker, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's edge, but not all edge, right? There's a chance you might do a couple other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So did you meet Juice Kiffin? How does Lane put on a recruiting visit for a portal guy? How does the portal king handle that?
Honestly, he was very straight up and straightforward with the situation and their need for players at the Jack linebacker position and what I would be able to do at Ole Miss. Like, it wasn't nothing really fluff or – because I had told them, I was like, I'm not into all that extra stuff with the extra antics and all that because it's really just a business decision for me. Man, if I was a high school senior, then yeah, I'd want to see all the extra stuff. But I just wanted to know how I would fit into the defense and how it would be able to make me more successful as well as make the team more successful. So that's really the pitch he just gave me.
I'm just imagining that you're telling him this and you leave the room and he opens another door and the whole Ole Miss band is behind the door. And they're like, he didn't really want the bells and whistles, guys. You can go home now.
Yeah, no, that would have been, but that's something off a TV show.
Did he like, after you left, did he stay on you till you committed? Was it Golding? Like, kind of how much did those guys really hustle to get you committed?
So yeah, Golding and Joyner were really on me constantly. Once I went to Missouri and came back, that's when Coach Kiffin really started hitting me up a lot more. And he was like, I guess, cause you know, at that point, he knew my decision was coming soon, so he really wanted to make sure that they were going to get me. But I would say the majority of my recruitment was Coach Golding. He was the one who was hitting me up day in and day out, asking me how I was doing and how the process was going and when I was thinking of making a decision and stuff like that and just selling Ole Miss.
Did you have your own deadline for making a decision, or was that something the schools were like, hey, we kind of need to know here?
Mm-hmm. I had multiple deadlines that continuously got pushed back over and over and over. And then Friday,
hey, he does have a future in media. Okay, look at this guy. Exactly. He's got all the. He's just like us.
It's gonna get done. It's all in my head. I'm gonna get it done. I'm just gonna need one more day.
For exactly.
Sure. I've never told that to an editor ever.
Okay. But that, and then I made my own hard deadline for Friday. I was like, I gotta pick a school. Like, I have to. I can't keep beating around the bush, you know, everything. I think one of the issues with how I handle the recruiting process is that I feel like I talk to too many people too often. Like, I talk to, not like outside of football, but in terms of the schools. Like, I was talking to Auburn, Missouri, and Ole Miss daily, like to different coaches daily. And, you know, when you give, they're like master salesmen, master recruiters. So you give them an opportunity, it's almost like an alley-oop for a dunk. You tell them, you talk to them about something that you have questions about, and all of a sudden it's magically been solved in a 5-minute conversation. So, and it just went from back and forth, different coach explaining, oh, yeah. Oh, I see your reservations with that, but also this. So like it went back and forth between coach and coach. So every school seemed like the best option. So I really just had to, go zero dark 30. I just had to cut off all communication. I just told them, you know, I got all the information I need on the schools. It's time for me to just take a couple of days away from you all so that I can make my own decision and not be influenced too much by you.
That has to be hard too when you're going through it and you're starting to set the visits and stuff. Like at some point you kind of can't have any new ones come into the picture, right? Like when you're actually like, hey, I can't talk to, like, you're, I'm sure in the first few days you're wondering who else is going to pop up in the DMs and start recruiting me and who's going to really make a big push. But at some point you kind of have to close the door on some people, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. There's a bunch of schools who I didn't even, cause I was posting my offers on Twitter. There is a good number of schools who were calling me and offering me that I just didn't even post. And I was like, at this point, I'm too far gone in the process, which is crazy when you're like 2 weeks in, but it's like, I'm too far gone. I can't even open that up. It'll just scramble my mind even more.
So when you go zero dark 30, do you do the old school pro and con list? Do you pray? How do you ultimately make the decision?
Yeah. So it was all that. So I made pros and cons list. I prayed about it. I was flipping coins. I was doing random. Yeah, I know. Random number generators. And, you know, it was, I know it's crazy, right? It was just
18. That's Archie Manning's number. Ole Miss it is.
Yeah, that's great. That's how neck and neck it was between all three schools. Like, honestly, it was something where I was teetering back and forth between the schools. I mean, if you ask the coaches, you'll know, because I was telling them straight up. I was like, yeah, there's not that much differentiating all the three schools, and that's why it's been taking me so long. I'm trying to decide what things I can use to differentiate the schools. And, so that's what I was doing, praying about it. Talking to my mom, she was praying about it. My mom couldn't sleep just like me. She was telling me all the time. She was like, she couldn't sleep because how stressed she was about me making the decision. But I told
my mom. Did she go on the visits with you?
She went to Missouri and she went to Auburn. Okay. So ironically, she didn't go to the school that I ended up picking. Exactly.
You're like, I promise it's good. You'll like it.
Nah, and that was another thing that showed why I should go to Ole Miss. Like, she didn't even go on that visit, but based on the things I was telling her and the things my brother and sister went with me to Ole Miss, the things they were telling her, she really liked the school. And that was saying a lot given the fact that she didn't go there. So, I gave myself that hard deadline on Friday. I made a decision Thursday night and I slept on it, woke up, and then I let the coaches know. And then I announced it.
I like that. The sleeping on it. That's so key when you make a big decision. Cause do you feel the same way that morning as you did the night before?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And so you woke up and you're like, yep, still there. Still good.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Who do you call? Is it Coach Golding? Is it Coach Kiffin?
So I called Coach Golding first, and then I called Coach Kiffin, and then I called I spoke with Coach Joyner. And then after that, I called Coach Freeze, and then I called Coach Drinkowitz, and I let them know that I wasn't going to their schools. And then, because I didn't want to just post the episode without letting them know and they'd be blindsided or anything like that. So yeah, that was the order it went in.
We'll be right back after these words. Before we started recording, we were talking about Max and I were trying to figure out
which Oxford restaurant is going to sponsor your podcast. Cause we've been watching, we know you guys have been looking for a sponsor. You're still new. Yeah. All right, let me throw, here it is. I think given what you told us about Lucy's, cause you enjoyed Lucy's and maybe Ole Miss already took you to this place. I don't know. Big Bad Breakfast in Oxford.
No, they didn't take me there.
They got chicken and waffles. Yes. But they also have biscuits and tomato gravy. Tomato gravy sounds a little weird, but I promise it's amazing. And then they also have something called the mother of all biscuits. I've eaten this, but I am now reading. I'm going to read you off the menu what this is. Crispy fried dill chicken thigh and cheddar cheese on a buttermilk biscuit served with choice side. We recommend hot sauce. Mm. Like this is, I'm telling you, and then get some gravy with it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, if they want to sponsor the podcast, I'll definitely go try it out and see.
Let's
how
Let's go. Is. Big it's Bad Breakfast. Big Bad Podcast.
You could just go do video restaurant, you know, tour reviews on the feed and mm-hmm. kind of once again just ultimately choose who your sponsor's gonna be.
Or you know? Or they like you and they're like, oh, this is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how yeah. it works. And that's the best relationship between a podcaster and an advertiser is it's gotta be the relationship has to be natural and real. It's like
exactly.
It's like when I do the Peloton reads because I love Peloton, and it just comes through. It's from the heart.
Exactly. The fans can see through it if it isn't real, man. So you got to be genuinely connected to the product that you're selling.
How did you get into the podcasting?
So when I was I don't even know what year. So this was like the COVID year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already done YouTube back in high school. I had like a gaming channel that I was making videos on back in the day when I was younger. So I already knew that YouTube was something I wanted to do, but then it really took a backseat when I started getting serious into football. I would say around my junior year of high school, and that carried on into my acclimation to college and all that. But then during COVID, we had a lot of free time. So I was like, oh, let me get back into making videos on YouTube. And I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And podcasts were getting really big during that time. So I was like, okay, let me try podcasting. Because I always used to say me and my teammates, we had great conversations. If only there was a camera, it'd be extremely entertaining. Yeah. So so I made a couple episodes with my roommates at the time. And then after that, I took a little break. And then I had made a couple episodes with like Tuck and Julio. And then I'd have some girls who go to the school come on and talk with us to get a different perspective and all that. And then when Tuck transferred to Texas, and then I stopped doing the podcast for the entirety of the entire season because he was one of the co-hosts with me and he had left. So then I restarted it back up in January with Julio coming on as a co-host to help with the show and stuff like that. And since then, it's just been, I've been way more consistent with it this time around and I've been having a good time with it. And I definitely plan on continuing with the podcast.
So you mentioned that you're not sure exactly how it's going to work from now, but you are going to do it remotely with mm-hmm. Julio, and you mentioned maybe StreamYard or Riverside. Let me give you another potential sponsor, StreamYard. Give this man a free login. Let's go.
Like exactly.
We're recording this episode on StreamYard right now, and I'm telling you, it's so easy to pop on a guest. You can produce the show. You can have a video clip that you can pop up, and yeah, you guys would be great. And so the episode that just blew up is mm-hmm. is Kendall from Dance Moms. I didn't mm-hmm. watch Dance Moms. My 12-year-old daughter has just discovered it. This her friends told her about it. So yeah. She knows who this person is. But Kendall was on Dance Moms and now goes to JMU and is on the dance team. And mm-hmm. y'all had her on and that episode blew up.
Yeah, it went crazy. I wasn't so she has like millions of followers on Instagram. So I thought it would get a good amount of views, but I didn't expect it to get over 150,000 views on YouTube. That was outrageous. It was definitely cool meeting her. Definitely cool having her on the show. She was really down to earth, really nice girl.
It was a great interview. Everybody, so you and Julio are natural interviewers. So mm-hmm. Because you ask exactly what I want to know. And mm-hmm. like because now maybe this is a Julio thing, but his first question was, okay, when you're on Dance Moms, what are they paying you? And then, yeah. I don't know if you guys do this or YouTube just knows how to do this.
But the second he asks that and she starts to answer, boom, cuts to commercial. I'm like, no. And then
YouTube. Actually, hold on. I think I might have put that one in.
Of course.
Yeah. So like, you know how you can choose the ads. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I put that one right after the question, because I knew that'd be something that people wanted to see.
Well, I watched the commercial. It worked. And then she comes back to say that she and her mom got $500 a week for the first 2 years.
For such a popular show. Like, that's crazy.
It's nuts. Like,
when she said that, I was so surprised.
Oh, man. But that, I mean, listen, please keep that up. Please get some of your new Ole Miss teammates on. Please get Lane Kiffin. Hey, listen, we'll give you another tip. Mm-hmm. So Lane Kiffin comes from that Nick Saban tree where they don't really let the assistants do interviews during the season.
Mm-hmm.
Get Golding on your show during the season. The fans will eat it up. It's their only chance to hear from him.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to do it because it's your show.
Plus, Andy, you got to tell him about the Would You Rathers. Get Lane back on another episode.
Oh, yes. So Ari Wasserman, who's also on this show with us, me and Ari went to Oxford last year and we interviewed Lane, and it was going fine. We were asking basic questions about the roster and the transfer portal. Well, Ari loves these Would You Rather questions, mm-hmm. and the stupider the better. And so he asked Lane this question that he had asked me before about if you can have no money and everything's fine, mm-hmm. or you can get $10 million. But once you take that $10 million, there is a turtle that starts walking towards you. That turtle is somewhere in the 48 contiguous states. You must stay in the 48 contiguous states. And he is always walking towards you no matter where you are. Now, you can fly somewhere else and he may have to turn around and start walking the other way. But the turtle is coming towards you, and if the turtle touches you, you die. And Ari asks this question. Elaine goes, tell me more about this turtle.
Man, that's a tough one.
It is not. Take the money. That turtle ain't getting me.
You know, when you least expect it, the turtle.
But you had a good run. Like, if the turtle gets you, it's okay.
You gotta spend the money so fast because the turtle's gonna get you.
You're saying you gotta Brewster's Millions it?
I'm trying to think how fast the turtle can. So, how close does the turtle start?
We actually, you don't know. He could be 3,000 miles away. He could be 3 miles away. We did the math on this, like turtle walking speed. So we tried to figure out if he had to walk across the country. He'd get there, but it'd take him.
I mean, and you would ultimately
3 miles an hour. They walk 3 miles
an hour. Right? You get the PJ and you try to fly over it. You would get tired of that life, right? You'd want to be back down on
Earth. Listen, $10 million. Yeah. If you're booking your own private jets, your $10 million is not going to last very long.
Exactly. Man, that turtle.
I just think, okay, so maybe I would get a place in Maine, a place in Florida, a place in San Diego, and a place in Seattle. And I just hop.
Yeah, and you got to think, like, how far – you got to consider how far is he getting to Maine before you leave? Because he could be in the middle and you're just leaving for no reason.
That's right. I want him, like – I'm in Augusta. I want him in Kennebunkport, and I fly to San Diego, and now he's got to turn around.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. That'll be the smartest.
That gives me, like, another year.
He's close enough.
Yeah,
you do some data collection for a little while on the turtle to kind of figure out what
but that's the trick. You never know with the turtle. He's a very mysterious turtle.
Can he get on a train?
Yeah. Oh, can he get on a train? No, the turtle does not carry cash and does not have a credit card.
The turtle might just climb into somebody's truck and just hop a ride all the way to
the turtle is getting determined at some point.
That is a diabolical turtle. Good Lord.
Because that's his entire life. The twist is once he touches you, he gets the $10 million and you die.
So what's a turtle going to do with $10 million?
He becomes a human. And gets
You didn't know the turtle was actually a human in a turtle's body.
I did ask if it was a ninja turtle. That was my first question when Ari.
Oh, they can send him on two legs. It's over.
Yeah, it's done. Now forget it.
It's done. If it's a ninja turtle, it's over.
If he likes pizza and he can use nunchucks, I have no shot. But so ask Lane about that the next time you see him. Hey, remember those two idiots that came last year and asked you about the turtle? There's another.
I'm gonna ask him about that.
There's another one that we asked him. That's another one of Ari's favorites. That he can't believe I answer the way I answer. Would you take? And the thing is, with Lane, none of this works because Lane wouldn't take the money because he's already got the money. Mm-hmm. So, but would you take $10 million if there was a 5% chance every day that you would wake up covered in peanut butter? And I said yes, and I would have a room that I could hose down. And Ari doesn't believe me.
What is that? So if you
1 in 20. 1 in 20.
1 in 20. And is that for if you're 365 days? Let me see. Let me get my calculator.
We're a bad at math podcast, officially. So you're gonna have to use your calculator on this.
So 18 days out of the year, you're waking up covered in peanut butter.
Exactly. And if I have a room that I'm capable of hosing down, I'm good with that.
I think I would take that.
Thank you.
I think I would take that.
Lane wouldn't take it.
If you take the percentage up, it gets a little bit tougher for me. But I think you're right. You could build a room, Andy, that you could account for.
Exactly.
I think so, too. Isaac, we have now ventured into the completely ridiculous, but hopefully given you some ideas for questions for your show.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tell everybody how to find your show.
So you can find my show on YouTube at the Off Schedule Podcast on YouTube. You can also follow us on Instagram, Off Schedule Podcast, as well. You can follow me on Instagram, Isaac Ukwu, ISAACUKWU. I post reels and clips from the podcast on both Instagram accounts. And then also we post shorts on YouTube with content from the podcast. But yeah, just find us Off Schedule Podcast on YouTube.
Awesome. Everybody, go listen, subscribe, and watch this dude sack quarterbacks at Ole Miss. Thank you so much, Isaac.
For sure, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks so much to Max Olson and Isaac Ukwu for helping us out and explaining the very weird world inside the transfer portal. That does sound strange, and obviously a very different recruiting experience at age 23 than you probably want or get at age 18. So thanks to Isaac for sharing, and that was really cool. There's no easy way to say this. This is my last show at The Athletic. It has been a pleasure. I'm not going away. I will be back at some point, and you'll hear my nasally voice again. Don't you worry. I'd just be somewhere else. I did want to say thank you to everyone at The Athletic. Wonderful teammates and coworkers. It has been an absolute joy to work with them. It's such a good team there. And so collaborative, more collaborative than any company I've ever worked with. And I just really enjoyed my time there. Also, I got to thank you guys. You have been incredible. We started this show with zero listeners, none. And all of you have formed this community around the show. We've got our own kind of language. We've got our own inside jokes. And it's been a joy getting a chance to talk to you and then hearing back from you about what you wanted from the show. And I just wanted to thank you for listening and for spending some time with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. So that's it for the show. And I'll talk to you again soon.